I neglected to mention that I have no interest to disclose, but even if I did, my influence would be minimal. Our next presenter is Jose Salazar of Tarzana Treatment Centers Incorporated. The title of his topic, Integrating Best Practices for Older Adults Engaged in Alcohol and Drug Treatment Services.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for being here. Let's see, is it this one? Yeah. So I have no disclosure except that this morning someone did try to bribe me with a $5 coffee. They wanted my PowerPoint slides, but and that person happens to be in the room, so you know who you are. Now, no relationships to disclose. What I wanted to talk to you about today is the issue of the sort of widening treatment gap. In reference to providing alcohol drug treatment services to older adults. And so what we'll do is we'll, you know, take a look at some of the trends in aging and then talk a little bit specifically about older adults and alcohol and substance abuse services, projected rates of the need, and then give you a little bit of information of our experience. Tarzana Treatment Centers is an alcohol drug treatment facility, and we, you know, deal with the whole continuum, inpatient medical detox, to inpatient residential, to outpatient, to transitional sober living combined with ongoing outpatient treatment, both for adults, youth. And while we don't have an older adult program, from the data you'll see that it's probably timely to start focusing on a structured program. And then we can talk a little bit about some of the recommendations. You know, the reality is that most of us are probably not going to be able to secure a separate contract or funding pot to structure a program specifically designed for older adults. So I think most of us that are in the field providing treatment services for older adults are probably seeing this sort of same sort of trend increase. I mean, this is just a population projection for older adults. The reality is that whether we like it or not, we are an aging population. And just like everything else, older adults do participate in alcohol drug treatment services, and increasingly there's a wider need for that type of service, and the vast majority of our treatment facilities are really not prepared to provide services to this population. So just some general characteristics that you're probably familiar with. These are the things that contextualize how we should be providing services. Older adults do tend to use more healthcare services. Half of all physician visits and half of all hospital stays typically represent older adults. Close to 90% of those age 65 and older have at least one chronic health disease. So already we begin to see that if you are going to be providing the services, you're going to have a well-integrated plan with primary care, with your local hospitals, with their direct primary care provider. If that's not in there, you know, it might be problematic. Some of the leading chronic health diseases, as you're aware of, things like diabetes, heart disease, stroke, cancer, et cetera. Another telling statistic, the average 75-year-old has about three chronic conditions, so multiple chronic conditions, and on average is taking a minimum of five different prescription drugs per day. So that's going to have to be part of the treatment plan when they walk in. According to the Psychological Association, about 15 to 25% of elders in the U.S. suffer from, you know, some sort of significant symptom of mental illness, so very common. We're going to have to integrate co-occurring. Older adults are more likely to commit suicide than the rest of the population, particularly among men, particularly around white men. Estimated that over 1 million elderly have some sort of abnormal memory loss, senility, or dementia. A little bit younger older adult population, close to 20% of those age 50 and older reported smoking cigarettes, 45% had drunk alcohol, and close to 2% had used some type of illicit drug in the past month. And when we get into our data, you'll see what sort of drugs are some of the most commonly used. Approximately 12.2% report binge drinking, to more of the support why we sort of need this type of services. Among older adults, men more likely than women to be past month cigarette smokers, alcohol users, binge drinkers, heavy drinkers or illicit drug users, but really services should be planned for both genders, not just men, despite the fact that they might be more at risk or more representative. So just some of the SAMHSA data, this one split up by race and ethnicity. While some of our racial ethnic minority older adults populations are not as high as Caucasian white, they're not trailing far behind when it comes to alcohol drug treatment services, as you can see from these stats, particularly around things like cigarette, tobacco use, you know, African Americans in the middle column. And then if you look at Latinos around alcohol use, and then pretty comparable around binge alcohol use. So as you're planning these things, we also have to remember that older adults from ethnic racial minorities are also going to be part of that cohort. So other alcohol and other drug health characteristics, 70% of all hospitalized older persons, and up to 50% of nursing home residents have alcohol-related problems. Just more of the rationale as to why I won't read all of these. So in a treatment facility, similar to some of the published literature out there, we do see that there's a distinct characteristics in terms of the type of individual that walks in the facility, and that normally you might fall into what's considered the early onset type of adult seeking treatment or the late onset. About 65 to 70% really qualify under early onset. And we're really talking about people that started using when they were young, perhaps have had a couple treatment experiences, a couple relapse experiences, as compared to the late onset, which really represent a cohort that may have been using and abusing, but in a very functional way. And it's really as a result of some sort of traumatic event now later in life in which they sort of go over the edge. In a lot of the cases, it might be related to something like losing your spouse or losing all your siblings or finding yourself now being alone in your community and without a particular support system. It does have implications in terms of how we structure our programs. Early onset, we're talking about individuals that are more likely to drink to intoxication, may have been in treatment before, have legal, financial, or employment problems, less social support, as opposed to late onset, which typically we're talking about enters treatment as a result of some sort of crisis, maybe driving under the influence, more reporting of issues of depression and loneliness, typically a lot of denial associated with their alcohol or drug use, do tend to have a little bit more social support. And late onsetters, really, there's an overrepresentation, interesting overrepresentation of women. So here's Tarzana Treatment Centers. We don't have, like I said, we don't have a formalized structure program for older adults. Yet in our last fiscal year, we saw 603 individuals come through our treatment facility and take advantage of alcohol drug treatment services. So that's a pretty large number of individuals that are cycling through our treatment facility. This is the race and ethnic breakdown of that population. Whites represent about 60%, but other communities are strongly represented as well. In terms of drugs of choice, this is across all treatment modalities. Alcohol still tends to be the highest. But look at some of the other ones, particularly heroin. There's a typo there. Sorry about that. 17%, 12% for other types of opiates, and then methamphetamine, 7%, typically not a drug associated with older adults, and cocaine, 11%. Now let's break it up further. So if you just look at outpatient services, then you see a very different drug mix. So now we're talking about really that cocaine and methamphetamine represent the highest reported drugs of choice at 27 and 20%. Alcohol is still high with 27%, but interesting different mix. Now let's take it by drug and treatment modality. So here's meth. In our outpatient services for our older adults, that represented about 20, then followed by residential at about 10%, and then a least amount in detox. Now let's try cocaine. About 30% in our outpatient services, about 17% in our residential, and just around 2% in detox. And then, of course, alcohol, then, you know, you kind of see it inverse. About 26% in outpatient, about 50% in residential, and then a high 50% in our detox services. So what are people saying about what are some of the ways that, despite not having funding, what is it that you can do to start modifying your treatment and your approaches in treatment to better serve the community? Well, some things to be excited, meaning if you don't have funding, there has to be a motivator. And one of the strongest motivators is that older adults do tend to have better treatment outcomes once they get access as compared to the younger population. So that might have some ramifications for staff productivity or staff feeling a sense of accomplishment that they're doing and fighting the good fight and actually having results. Older adults tend to have greater lengths of stay, which is a marker of treatment outcome for most of us, better attendance at self-help groups like AA, more likely to report total abstinence, both from alcohol and other drugs, 6 months after treatment. And of those that abstain from both alcohol and drugs, they reported did report lower rates of use. So all positive things to kind of keep us motivated and rolling and going. And we actually see that in our own data. So here's our treatment outcomes for detox. The ones that we're mostly concerned with is rates of treatment complete and length of stay. So as was already mentioned, the longer you stay, the more likely that you're going to be abstaining 6, 12 months down the road. And as you can tell in our data, 55 and older have better lengths of stay than the 54 and younger by about a day. And I have 2 minutes. This is detox. And then treatment completes, they surpass the younger crowd. Here's for outpatient. So 130 days versus 122 days. And then treatment completes, wow, almost 10% higher than their comparable younger cohorts. This is where there is a discrepancy, which I thought was kind of interesting. I'm not too sure what this is related to, but in residential, the length of stay tended to be lower for older adults, but yet their treatment completes, almost 20% better than the younger cohort. So once again, all good stuff and strong motivators for our staff. So what could be the things that we could do? This is some of the recommendations from Department of Health Services, all good stuff. From some of our own focus groups that we've done, you know, the key things is that older adults want to be left alone while they're in treatment. Give me less structure is priority number one. Also, let me interact with people that are more like me. Many of the complaints that we get in our own treatment facility is that those staff that are giving direction tend to be about the age of the son or daughter of that older adult, and it's just really, really hard to take direction. And then in treatment, we have terminology and phases in which we grant people things like elder status, and we actually use that sort of terminology. And for our older adults, you know, having a 22-year-old who's considered an elder in treatment can be pretty offensive, particularly if they self-identify as an elder and someone with, you know, someone who's just wise based on the fact of the years that I've lived. There's a lot of discomfort in terms of participating in mixed groups. Most of the older adults feel like they have very little in common with their younger cohorts, particularly when the younger cohorts want to talk about things like, how do I get back with my husband or my wife? And then the older adult is struggling with, how do I mourn the loss of my husband or my wife? Or how do I get my kids back from foster care? And the older adult is really mourning the loss of their last remaining son or daughter because they've outlived everyone. So they definitely don't want to be in the same groups. Some of the more practical things is that the groups that most of our facilities run, the types of chairs that we have, I'll end with this, are very uncomfortable. Most of us have plastic chairs. Something as simple as just getting these plush, nice, comfy chairs, especially if you're going to be spending 6 hours in groups and you know you're dealing with some sort of hip surgery, it'd be nice to have a more comfortable arrangement. And I'll stop there. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.